Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show improve. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
Today, the British government is releasing what it's calling an audit of data on how people from different ethnic groups are treated in areas such as health, education, and criminal justice. And it's expected to confirm that life outcomes vary widely. For example, unemployment among black, Asian, and other ethnic minorities is almost double that of white adults. But figures also show that white children from poor backgrounds are doing particularly badly at primary school level. Some say that all this isn't new information, rather the question is, what can the government do about it? Here's the Minister in charge of communities, Sajid Javid.
In terms of its scale, it is unprecedented. Its scope, its transparency, 130 areas being looked at, and never before has this data been put together in one place and made so easy to analyse. And also how it can help to monitor things so that this isn't a one-off exercise. This will be something that will be regularly updated. And I think it's important to have this evidence in front of us. So when we do put in initiatives to try and deal with some of the disparities, then we can monitor those and see how they're working.
Well, to get a snapshot of how one community is faring, Sancho Berg went to a local authority housing estate in Leicester in central England. In this neighbourhood, most people are from ethnic minority groups and unemployment is high.
Your time starts now. Go.
A maths lesson in Taylor Road Primary School, Leicester. Almost all the pupils in this Ofsted outstanding school are black, Asian or from other ethnic minorities, reflecting the surrounding community, the St Matthew's Estate. It's the most deprived part of Leicester. Unemployment is high, many grow up in poverty. Parents are determined their children should get out, do better, through the ladder of education. Chris Hassel has been head teacher here for 21 years.
It's our job to build on those expectations. And if we didn't do that, if this wasn't an outstanding school with results that are above both local and national averages, I'd have to leave, because the parents now expect this school to be la creme de la creme.
A short stroll away, a Somali community centre and a group of middle-aged women are learning English with enthusiasm. They arrived years ago, but almost all stayed at home, bringing up their children. Now they want to get jobs.
I like children. I like any work.
As the head teacher said, their ambitions are for their children. One told me she had five. All had gone to university. But finding a good job was hard. Her son studied public health. He was working as a security guard. Anna Bfara, a volunteer at the centre, welcomed the Prime Minister's audit on the impact of ethnicity on everyday life.
We are struggling to get in, employment, housing. We have so many things to struggle at the moment.
Theresa May says a new website will challenge society to explain or change disparities in how people from different backgrounds are treated. Down the road at the busy Nomad Cafe, long-standing resident Awal Hassan said he believed there was a kind of indirect bias rather than overt racism that could have a big impact on people's lives. He described how he had been turned down for a loan to buy his council flat.
they will welcome to you, they will open their face, they will bring you. But when you sit down and sit together and talk together, that's the time you will notice the shutters going closed down.
Did you feel they didn't want to lend you the money?
Yes, yes. I don't know why, I don't know the reason, but that's the way I feel it.
In recent years, much attention's been focused on the fact that in state schools, poor white British boys fare worse than other groups. But this audit shows that when it comes to the adult world, white Britons are more likely to be employed and own their own home than most ethnic minorities. The challenge will be to establish why.
That report was by Sancha Berg.
Context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Sunday, October 15th, 2017. So I have been told this is our monthly Global Sunday Talk on Racism. I always think it is important, really crucial in terms of having an accurate understanding of racism, white supremacy, to keep in mind that when we talk about white supremacy, racism, this is not a problem that is, you know, an issue from time to time in the southern part of the United States or maybe in South Africa or a few other spots here and there. But, you know, generally speaking, the planet is an okay place. That is totally false. We're talking about white supremacy, racism. We are talking about a global system, the dominant political force on the planet, bar none. And there's no place that you can run, no place that you can go, no place that you can find on the globe where you will escape the power, the domination of white supremacy. I think that's important. And I think it's also very helpful, non-white people, victims of racism, to exchange views, share information in different parts of the planet. Racism doesn't operate exactly the same in every geographic location, so we can see similarities, differences in what racists are doing, strategies to work against what they're doing, and just getting more information. I always think that's helpful. So always look forward to chatting it up. We already have Mary on the line with us. Mary, you're with us.
I am. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Crystal clear.
Okay.
Grand to have you back with us. We had Andrew with us, and I had to drop his line for a moment just because of the distortion. And then I tried to get him back with us, and it was not working for some reason. So I'll try again, see if we can get Andrew back with us. He was one of the first folks here today. He was messaging, ready to participate. He actually was trying to participate last month, but he had tech issues, was not allowing him to chime in, but he was here, had him on the line and everything, but it seems it might be having some difficulty getting him back. I'll have to try again. A little bummed about that. I thought there might be some issues if I had to get him off the line. We'll see if might need to give him a second or two, and then I'll try and get him back on. While I'm working with the tech issues to see if we can get Andrew back with us, I'll start the issue that got a lot of attention in England this week with the audio clip we started. Theresa May, they had this big audit. Surprise, black people are subject to racism, white supremacy in all areas of people activity. You heard a snippet of that in the BBC segment that we started with. They've had lots of these reports about black people being abused and what have you, but this is the latest one that got a lot of attention. Did you hear any of this week, Mary, and what were your thoughts?
I did, yes. In fact, they were having a discussion about it on BBC Breakfast News. And I rolled my eyes until the whites were shown, because it's just the same old nonsense that they do every couple of years. But usually it acts as a distraction. So it immediately made me think, well, what else do they have coming down the pipeline, and they're trying to distract us with this nonsense? They're always talking about the data, the data, the data, but never any solutions. But there was one black lady that was on the news. It was a later piece in the evening where she was talking about solutions and what the government needs to do. And you know that when solutions are offered up, they usually get ignored. But she was speaking about some real tangible solutions about what they can do to address it. And usually when they have black people in the news, it's just talking about, oh, well, you know, the government is, you know, they're glad that the government recognises that there's a problem. It's never about what the government can do. And I'm glad that this woman actually held their feet to the fire and put the ball in their court about what they should be doing. And it was in the lines of providing economic opportunities, providing proper housing, policing the police. She was coming up with sensible answers that need to be addressed, but it's going to be ignored. But most of all, I took away from it that this is just another distraction because they've got something coming for us, and that's usually what they do.
Indeed, indeed. I'm going to try Andrew again, see if we can get him on with this. I'm curious to get his thoughts on this as well. That I did not hear that in the audio segment that we started with, and this was widespread. Like, this got a lot of attention. This was on the BBC and all the mainstream, like, British press outlets. And the Prime Minister, you know, was talking about this. This was big attention over there, but pretty much all of the segments that I heard and or read, I did not hear commentary about what should be done to solve this problem. It was just a lot of data and statistics. There was a great piece in The Guardian written by a black female author, where she was basically saying the same sentiment that we've talked on, that I've expressed on this program before, that there are tons of pamphlets and papers and reports about how black people are mistreated. And she went through the litany of them. The McPherson report that we talked about before, they published that after Stephen Lawrence was killed by a group of white terrorists in the early 1990s. We've had his mother on the program repeatedly. But they've done tons of these reports. And it would still get down to, okay, so what should we do to solve this problem so we don't have to issue more of these reports? And they never get around to that. I've said on the program before, they could save trees instead of, you know, issuing all these reports, or if they're digital or what have you. That's, you know, we could save a little room on our hard drive having to download all this stuff. While I'm still trying to get Andrew, did you see any evidence, I guess, that, you know, at least with this report, forced more dialogue about racism? Was it at least helpful in being able to speak with other non-white people, get them to maybe talk about this problem?
No.
Wow.
No. And I personally don't speak to non-black people about black issues because it's just absolute waste of your time. They go down the path of trying to confuse you with nonsense. It's designed to put you under maximum amount of stress. So I'm intelligent to know that I already know what the line is. So I don't even bother speaking to them about it. I recognise it for the absolute nonsense that it is. And that's it. But I think Theresa May, personally, I think that Theresa May addressed this because the artists that you know of, such as Skepta and JME, who's Skepta's brother, and... what's his name? You remember we discussed him, he's highly melanated. Stormzy have publicly, well, Stormzy at least, at one of his award acceptance speeches, he said that Theresa May's a pagan and that will resonate with the youth. So I think she's on the back foot trying to appease black people through the youth, because the last election, the youth overwhelmingly voted for Jeremy Corbyn, which is why, you know, she's had to drag herself on the ground to the DUP to maintain some type of government without it all breaking down. But that's personally why I think she's doing it. So she's going to say, yes, the government needs to do more, blah, 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 blah. We're coming up to a critical phase with Brexit and whatever else they've got coming, you know, because her own party largely don't have confidence in her, even though they're pretending that they do. So she's just trying to get everyone on her side. So I think that's what this is all about. But apart from that, I don't speak to white people or any other race of people about, you know, black issues, because I prefer to speak to my own people, because we've got the common sense enough to know what's going on. And I don't want to be insulted by people pretending that there's nothing going on and that everything's okay and that there's diversity and interracial dating and all the rest of the nonsense that's designed to confuse you and detract you away from the real issues. So, yeah.
Awesome. I think we do have Andrew with us now. I just wanted to follow up on that really quick, Mary. So did this audit, did that make it easier to talk to other black people about racism?
The black people that I know already are quite acutely aware of what's going on. So I don't even need to speak to them about this. It's just, okay, I'm aware of the nonsense that you've got going on. But apart from that, whatever, you've got bigger fish to fry than you talking nonsense for 2 days on TV.
Wow. Wow. Glad to hear that. Okay. I think, do we have Andrew with us now? Are you with us, sir?
Yes. Can you hear me, Gus?
Crystal clear. Glad to have you with us, sir. We've been talking about the big audit that was released this week. Surprise, black people are being harmed in all areas of people activity. What was your response to the report?
Yeah, apologies for the earlier on. I've been just in some IT trouble. Yeah, are we talking about the report that David Lammy did? Because or was there another one?
Yes, the big audit that came out, I think Theresa May was talking about it, that showed that black people have all these disparities in education and employment and et cetera.
Right. OK, well, there's a few things, actually. But first of all, I mean, it was on television. I was about 15, 20 minutes ago. They were talking about that, and it was on a program called London Live. And there was a African lady on TV talking about it. She said it's one thing doing the report, the other thing is what is the government going to do about it. I would disagree with her, because I don't expect the government to do anything about it. For me, the big question is for African people in England is, we already know these things, so what are we going to do about it? I don't expect the government to do anything about anything, nothing whatsoever. Nothing, 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 nothing. The question for us as African people is, now that white people have done a report, right, that hopefully will convince some African people who were a little bit confused about racism and all the rest of it in the UK. So hopefully it's going to convince some Africans that were in doubt. So the question is, what are we going to
Uh-oh, I think we may have lost Andrew. Oh, there he is. Andrew.
Hello, sorry about that. Yes. Apologies for that.
I think
So that's what I think about it anyway. Yeah. Right. It's about what we're going to do for ourselves, you know, and it is always going to be about that. Never anything that, because it's one thing doing a report. But what is that? It doesn't mean anything. You know, it means absolutely nothing. We know all that stuff already. It's never been any different. But what are we, you know, how are we going to do what we do differently to help ourselves, not only in the UK, but everywhere? Do you know what I mean? You know, and that's always, the focus has always got to be on us doing for ourselves. White people will never do anything for us, ever, at any point, at any time. So.
Well said. Mary, before you dialed in, she was speculating as to why this report was released at this time and why it got so much attention. Do you have any thoughts in terms of why this report got so much attention, why it was released at this time?
That's a good question, actually. Why did it get released at this time? I think that the Tory party need votes. You know, that's my opinion. You know, I mean, you know, it's to bring a few black people over to the Tory side. I mean, you know, it's to make out to African people in the UK that somehow Theresa May cares, you know, and she doesn't care. They couldn't give a monkey's, basically, meaning that they don't care. It's the same thing as the Theresa May saying now that she's going to give some consideration to students, you know, because you know, what's his name? The Labour Party has, you know, the mass of student votes. So the Tory party is trying to make inroads into the African vote in the UK, trying to make inroads into the student vote in the UK, made a mistake with the elderly people, you know. So so the next thing they're going to do is to try and offer old people something. And they've got to do all of that before the next election. And so it's electioneering. That's really what we're looking at. You know, and the Tory party has never done anything for black people, and they never will. There's a lot of misguided people in the UK. You may not know what the right to buy scheme is. The right to buy allowed poor people to buy flats, or we call them flats. So you would call them apartments, maybe, or whatever it is, in projects. We call them council estates, right? So that was Margaret Thatcher. Right. So some black people think that, you know, because Maggie Thatcher did that, then the Tory party are good. No, they just didn't want to pay for the upkeep of council flats because it costs money to upkeep projects, council flats. Got to pay for it. So all she did was pass the cost onto poor people. You know, that's what that one's all about. So offering, doing this report is to try and bring black people to vote for the Tory party. But they ain't going to do nothing about it. So that's my view.
I think they were very careful to not make any promises to do anything about it. So one can't even charge them with breaking any promises or making false promises, because they didn't, you know, even really say that they were going to do anything about solving this problem.
Exactly.
Unless I missed that.
That's right.
Let's see. I think before I wanted to move on, because I felt like there were so many different things that happened that I wanted to make sure I touched on. And then I see at least Thomas in New York wanted to get a question in as well. Do you all have anything else that you thought was significant around the release of this report, or all the attention that it's continuing to get? You mentioned the London Live program where they're talking about this right now. Anything else that you think is important on this subject?
Yeah. Mary, go ahead.
No, it's okay. You go first.
It's just a few things, actually. You see, when the government releases a report like this, right, they've got to make it stick, right? So what you're going to probably have happen now is that they're going to bring out a load of so-called community leaders. And the purpose of the community leaders is to talk about this report and offer hope to African people in the UK. So it's to dialogue about this report and try and, you know, rustle up some sort of good vibe around the report and have some sort of pseudo dialogue with a few conservative nobodies, right? People, you know, as long as it's not Theresa May or none of the cabinet, it doesn't matter, right? And to have a bit of dialogue around it and blah, blah, blah. A few community leaders, a few black people who are going to come on and talk rubbish about the report and basically just try and get black people to vote for the Tory party. You know, that's what it's all about. And so you're going to, I believe in the next sort of couple of months, you're going to see that happen. I don't think it's going to last very long, though, because I think the government, the Tory government is trying to gauge the worth of dialoguing. How many votes are they actually going to get through this report? And that's what they're looking at. And if, you know, if they think they're not going to get a lot, then they're just going to chuck it away. Simple as that.
Mary, any final thoughts on the audit you wanted to get in?
It's an absolute waste of time, because it's just not going to change anything. And I wholeheartedly agree with Andrew. The point is, we need to change things and we need to set the gauge. And as I said before, he made his comments, the youth are the ones that hold the key to it, and the youth are not really in step with what the Tories have to say. I think the youth in general are not even with voting. They're not interested in it. So it's a desperate gasp of the Tories to try and make headway with their votes. But it's just the usual distraction, waste of time, like not going to solve anything. And those are my final thoughts.
Context of White Supremacy. Again, Global Sunday Talk on Racism. If you have questions, comments that you would like to share, the number to dial 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you have a question, if you would like to participate. I don't think we had either of you with us last month. When we did the program last month, it was days after the bombing in London. And I was curious to see what has happened in the 30 days since then. I've seen that they've arrested some more people even this week. I think they made another arrest. How has that been used to alter what folks are talking about, even what they are planning to do in the 30 days or so since the bombing? I guess we're going to start with Andrew.
Hello, can you?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay? Yeah, okay.
Yes,
it's funny because I've not seen a lot of change, you know. I've not seen a lot of change. Or to be honest, I've heard very little conversation as well around any of that today, you know. I find it quite interesting. Not really heard a lot of conversation. Not, you know, I mean, in the last few days, not seen a lot of dialogue on TV about it either. So I don't know if Mary has, but I just haven't seen a lot personally. So, you know, I do find that quite interesting, you know.
Wow. Has it been?
I mean, maybe I'm just not watching a lot of TV, you know, but I haven't, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot of it on. And I'll have to rack my brains about that one.
Wow. What say you, Mary? Has this been absent from discussion or the news? Is this not really being talked about 30 days out?
Which bombing are you referring to? Because there's so much stuff going on here, I lose track.
On the tube, on the subway in London in September?
Oh, Parsons Green.
Correct.
No, everyone's forgotten about that.
Wow.
because you're supposed to become, the trick is you're supposed to become accustomed to that this is your way of life, because even the day that it happened, I was at work and I saw that there was trouble with that particular line of the underground, the district line. And, you know, usually everyone is quite subdued, quite quiet. Everyone was just going about their business. No one cared. She's like, okay, yeah, another bombing. You're desensitized to it now, where it's just like, yeah, bombings are everyday part of, hazardous part of going to work. So, yeah, it's just like, okay, yeah, poor child got his legs burnt off, you know, he's got life-changing injuries and some people's hair melted off. But, yeah, you see, I'd even forgotten about it. That's how well they got us programmed.
Wow. That is, I guess for people stateside, I think if it was something comparable in terms of a violent event, shootings, maybe shootings. But even those, they at least stop for, you know, a few weeks or so. And we'll have some lip service about, you know, oh, you know, this is terrible. And then, you know, back to business as usual. But I don't know about a bomb. I think if there was a bombing here on like a subway or in a major public place, like, I think that would be something that people would be talking about like on a regular basis for a while. I don't think it's, I don't know. I guess that's folks in the States. You all can, you know, compare. I think shootings, maybe that's about the only thing I can compare to. Is it? I don't know. Does that compare to shootings? You all don't really have those types of,
yeah,
of shootings.
We don't have shootings.
Yeah.
We have bombings, and it's just like, it's not the first and it won't be the last. It's, I mean, people get acid thrown in their face every day over here, especially in the area of London that I live in, East London. Acid attacks are, people use acid now. It's just commonplace. You might walk outside, someone might want to decide to take your car. They'll throw acid in your face. It's just, I don't think you guys appreciate over there because it's not spoken about, but we're under increasing violence here. And it's just becoming a part of daily life. The same way someone might go postal over there and start capping everyone at work. Bombings and acid here.
Is that, just to get your thoughts on that, Andrew, is that your, she said she feels as though it's an increasing sense of being under violence every day, is that your sense?
It's funny, you know, because bombings, this country's got a long history of being bombed, you know. I mean, I personally remember I used to work in a record shop in Piccadilly Circus, and I remember the IRA, you know, there were bomb threats with the IRA regularly. You know, the idea, when they had a bomb threat with the IRA, we had to all get out of work and we had to all meet at some meeting point somewhere in Piccadilly Circus. And I remember, you know, Friday night driving down to the West End, you know, like central London, to go out. And, you know, there were police stops where they would stop our car and search the car and search us, apparently looking for IRA suspects and bombs. So this country's got a long history of being bombed by apparent terrorists. So I don't know, maybe that's why people are becoming a little bit desensitized. I mean, if you're over a certain age, then you do remember the IRA bombings, and it wasn't a small thing, it was a big thing. Yeah, I mean, you know, London's a big place, and you know, I don't necessarily think, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, if you hear something happen on the tube or whatever, people are going to start running and all the rest of it. You know, people have watched the news and are aware that these things are happening. But yeah, I agree. Acid is a big one, and acid causes a lot of damage because obviously you could just fright on someone, and you don't have to be up close. You don't have to stab them or nothing like that. You know, knives used to be a big thing when I was growing up, but now a little bottle of acid, you could fry it through a window. You know, you drive down the road with your window wound down, some idiot could come up and throw acid in your face, and it disfigures you. A stab wound will just cut you once, but acid, you know, on your face, you like that forever. But I think the connection with the government anyway, which is what's relevant here, is them, is how they hype it up. You know, for me, you know, they hype, yes, it's a problem, but it's the whole thing about, London's a big place. There's a small, only a tiny likelihood that you're going to get that happen. Yes, it's something to think about, but it's the hype that it gets on TV and what that does, and what that does to people. Do you know what I mean? And the sense of fear that causes in people. And then the next conversation as to who are the culprits doing it, you know, and that's, you know, that's the conversation really, isn't it? Who are the people with acid chucking it around, and it's those people that we need to deal with, you know, that's where this conversation, you know, that's where this issue is really. That's where it's going to go anyway.
Context of white supremacy. I was thinking. Really, of the subject matter that we were talking about previously with the report, just about how things, you know, what is emphasized. There was a bombing last month. Apparently, you know, that's not getting a whole lot of attention. They did that audit this week. A lot of attention. Not that it seems any of us expect them to do anything about the problems listed in the audit. Is it any coincidence, you think, that audit was released this month, October, which is Black History Month over there? Either or, Mary Ann.
Yeah, no. It's, you know, they've released it in October because it's Black History Month. That's the whole point. You know, I mean, it's to, you know, again, it's to make, to me anyway, the way I see it, it's to make out as if the government understands and is in tune with the so-called Black community, whatever that is and wherever it is, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, it's just crass, You know, they've got, Cameron, because they could release this anytime. Do you know what I mean? Cameron asks David Lammy to do this report. You know, I mean, maybe I'm not in the know, and maybe it was down to David Lammy as to when it was released, and I really don't know. But, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. So, yeah, you know, Black History Month is here. Let's release this report. You know, the Tory government's, you know, Theresa May, you know, is sympathetic with black people. She's down with us. She's cool, blah, blah, blah. But she's, you know, she's far from it, really, isn't she? Do you know what I mean? So, no. It's there's a reason why it's been released now, you know. But you see, here's the thing for me though, right? I want to see who she gets out to talk about this thing, you know. Who is she going to get and put on television to talk about this thing? Who? What's the next step in terms of racial showcasing to talk about this report? You know, that's what, and I'm wondering if it's going to be the usual suspects like Simon Woolley and other characters that normally she gets out to, you know, in other words, who's going to be the black think tank that she's going to get out to dialogue about her rubbish? Do you know what I mean? You know, that's really what it'd be interesting to see who's used to do this. Do you know what I mean? That's the sort of thing to watch.
Any thoughts, Mary? The timing of this audit coming out for Black History Month?
I think it is because it's Black History Month. I'd have to agree with Andrew. That's the only thing sensible that I can think of as well, that it is quote unquote Black History Month, which is another bunch of nonsense over here, I tell you. There's so much foolishness here. I wish you could come and spend a month. You just see. You're invisible. You're invisible. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've got all of this attention for a couple of days and it's supposed to make you feel like you're included in society. It's just nonsense.
Speaking of nonsense, they had on the BBC today, they had a big graphic of a white man with his arm around a black female. And the report is celebrating black and Asian life in England. And this is a part of Black History Month and the campaign to include black people. This for Black History Month, no less. Even I don't want that to be lost on listeners. Like, I guess for folks in the States or wherever you happen to be in the world, if you could think about that when they have Black History Month in February, if they released, like, if Donald Trump and company released some sort of report saying, yes, Negroes are being mistreated and, you know, education and all of this, and they released it for February. That is kind of low-key, trashy, trifling. Anyway, this image that I'm talking about is on my Facebook page for Black History Month. What is a part of the nonsense that you have seen for the first portion of Black History Month, Mary?
To be honest with you, I don't read tabloids. I might read some things online that interest me, and I try my best to stay clear of TV. So I'm just going to have to say I'm ignorant about this whole thing, because it absolutely means nothing to me that they're doing this, apart from the fact that I know it's designed to confuse us. And that's it. But whatever propaganda that they have going on, I try my best to stay 100% clear of it. So a lot of my information I get from social media, things that you may post, things that other people may post, and the complete hypocrisy and the juxtaposition with other things that go on. But I've not noticed anything, because to be honest with you, I've kind of stayed clear from it. So I know if they've got, say, like over here, they have Black Season and all this other crap, or Black Summer. I deliberately do not watch it, because I know it's designed to confuse me, and I know it's designed to put me under maximum stress and for me to shout at the TV like I've got no sense. So I tend to stay clear. So I'm not going to be very helpful on that point.
Right on. Conserving your time and energy. Any observations for Black History Month, Andrew?
It's a massive one for me personally. You see, I have no problem, right, with the concept of Black History Month. I have no problem with even talking about Black history or as I would prefer to say, African history. I have no problem with that. However, you know, when African people only talk about history, right, that's the problem that I have, right? You see, as far as I'm concerned, you know, white people are quite happy to have Africans consistently talking about stuff that's already happened, you know, history, you know. In other words, don't talk about the now or the future, you know, because, you know, when it comes to historical events, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to do any strategic planning around that, unless you're going to do some sort of, you know, unless you're going to plan to hold an event about the past, right? So I've realized that white people do not want African people to plan for the future, right? And that's the problem that I have with the concept of Black History Month. Now, if it was called African Futures Month, whereby Africans sit down and plan for the future, plan for the next 500 years, even the next 4 years, even the next year, right? Then that would be time well spent in my book and teaching young people, children, what strategic planning is, how you plan, you know, life plan, how you plan with other Africans, you know, what, you know, a SWOT analysis, you know, what the main problem is, which is white people, right? And then you basically just plan how you're going to deal with all of the problems, right, for the next 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, right? That would be time well spent. So I realize that white people are quite happy to have black people talking about what's happened, the past, right? And that's the biggest issue that I have when there is only a focus on African history, right? And what you'll find, you know, and there's no, and don't get me wrong, I've read a load of books like we all have, Chancellor Williams and all these, and they're brilliant books, right? You know, they raise your consciousness and they're fantastic, right? But I believe we need to talk about the present and the future and plan and understand how we plan and what it takes to deal with our issues, right? One of them, which is white people. And what I realize is that white people don't want us to do that. So that's why they want, in a way, a Black History Month. And that's the issue with it, really, isn't it? We need to teach our young people to plan for the future, right? And that's where our sole focus needs to be, right? Present and future planning. And that's the one thing that's absent for most of our lives, really, or at least collectively most of our lives, in my opinion.
Present and future planning. Present and future planning. I would say codification is present and future planning, codifying how to do things in the best manner to get the best result every time. I will check in because I do see folks dialed with questions. The number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *6 if you would like to participate. Take advantage. You can ask questions, folks in different parts of the world. Thomas in New York, I see you had a hand up. Did you have a question for any of our participants? Lines should be open. Feel free.
Good afternoon.
Greetings. Good to hear. Yes, sir.
Greetings to you, Gus. Greetings to the callers all around the world. That was a great suggestion the gentleman just had, man. African Futures and Presidents Month, or President Futures Month, that's brilliant, man. That's a great idea. Man, first thing I wanted to say is you guys are about to possibly get a hurricane. Have you guys been preparing for that?
No, we're getting the back end of the stream of the hurricane, so we're getting some of the hot weather. Well, not hot weather, but the hot stream, that's the best way I could describe it, coming through. But it's really going to hit mainly Ireland and the upper regions of the UK. There's nothing that you can really do here. We don't really see many hurricanes and that kind of stuff here, so you expect high winds, but the the infrastructure is not really designed for anything that you can do. We don't have bunkers and all of that kind of stuff here. We have cellars in some of our houses, but no, there's really no kind of preparation. It's more they deal with what happens after it if there's a lot of damage.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
I hear you.
As Mary just said, a friend of mine who's actually abroad sent me a text saying you guys are going to get a hurricane, which I didn't believe. And then I just watched the news, the weather just now, and they were speaking about the hurricane. But as Mary said, it seems like it's going to get dampened down by the time it gets to the coast of Ireland. So it'd be interesting to see how much of it we get. But it's good, though. I think it's good we're going to get a hurricane, because then it would, it's about time people in this country see what a hurricane looks like. So the fact that Boris Johnson has not decided to spend any money on British citizens in the Caribbean, this is the kind of thing, you know, so this is actually quite good. Are you with me? So that's my view on it. So the harder the better, really.
Interesting. I would say this as a brief comment on that is this year the weather anomalies have been biblical. We've seen a state-sized hurricane hit Florida. We've seen a hurricane linger over ground, over dry land for several days in Texas, and then move inland. And now we have a hurricane going over cold water to get to the UK, which is totally amazing. I just don't see why no one is not saying this is total anomalies of weather. My next question, and this was to an article I read. I've been trolling white supremacist sites as I normally do, and I came across this article. I'm waiting for it to load up, however, but it had to deal with a change in the policy of decriminalizing rapes in London. Have you guys heard anything about this? It says hundreds of sex offenders, including rapists, are escaping with a slap on the wrist by simply cautioned for their crimes. The Standard is the paper that reported this. Figures obtained by the Standard reveal that more than 1,100 cautions were given for sex offenders in London, meaning they dodged court and potentially lengthy prison sentences. The tally includes 16 cautions for rape, which carries a maximum life imprisonment sentence if convicted in court. And it goes on. Have you guys heard anything about this?
I haven't heard anything about that type of thing. I'd have to explain something to you. The Sexual Offences Act has a very broad definition of rape. It doesn't necessarily in this country mean penile penetration. It can also mean penetration with fingers, objects, that type of thing. And also there's a big lacuna in the law here about when the act of rape takes place. And that was highlighted by a very high profile case here that involved a footballer, Ched Evans. So I would, because I've dealt with this area of the law before, I don't actually know when those cautions would be applied. And a caution is something where there's strict criteria where it's applied. I'm not saying I support the decisions, but I would actually need to see where that comes from because of the broad definition of sexual offences here in the UK. I mean, for example, if a man was to smack me on the bum, he could, more likely than not, would be on the sexual offences register after that, because I've seen a sexual touching. So it depends on the degree. So I know they're saying rape, and they probably make it seem like it's full-blown, penetrative, violent rape. But we have to keep in mind that the definition of what can constitute sexual offence and the act of rape in the Sexual Offences Act can be quite broad. So I haven't seen it, but I'll just ask you to bear that in mind.
I personally haven't heard or seen anything about that. No, so I've not. I don't know anything about that whatsoever.
I'll send the article to Gus, and hopefully, maybe he can send it, because I don't have way of contacting you guys. So I'll send it to him in the next, 10 minutes or so. Every last question, and I'm thank you for taking my questions, Gus. I always love to speak to the victims worldwide. The shooting we had here in Nevada, in United States, in Las Vegas, a huge tourist destination town, where the guy shot close to 500 people or so at a concert. How is that depicted in the news there? Was it called terrorism? And what was the spin that they gave in the news there, if they spoke about it at all? And I'll mute my line. Thank you, Gus.
It was the same type of coverage that you got in the States. It was about, it was like an eHarmony kind of post about him liking whatever type of music. I saw an article the other day about him having undiagnosed depression or some nonsense that they've made up to excuse it. But for me personally, a lot of it doesn't add up. How does he alone get to shoot all of those people? The lone wolf narrative, as per usual, excusing the behavior of violent white males. He got the same type of coverage here as he did there, but something that very much stood out to me on BBC News, because I watch it every morning when I am before I go to work, was that they were saying that he wasn't known to the police or the authorities. Well, that's an absolute bald-faced lie. He would have been known to the authorities since he was a child because of the recidivist history of his father. So complete lies, complete fallacies. It drew the same questions that I've seen my American counterparts, my Black American counterparts raise on social media about how they're gently massaging this narrative that he was a lone wolf, that, I don't know how else they're going to spin it, that he just, decided one day to just go to Las Vegas and shoot up all of these people. It was absolute bold-faced cover-up and lies the way that the media always does it. And then, I don't want to sidetrack the matter. I saw the FBI report on BIE, and it made me laugh because, white male violence always gets excused. It is always seen as some kind of weird anomaly and not a societal problem that white society should deal with post haste, because it's beginning to turn back on them. But the very thought of knowing yourself and identifying as Black gets you flagged down by the FBI. It's very interesting.
Look at Mary being all informed about stateside news. Andrew, did you see the report that was released over the last, and that didn't even get widespread attention? Like, that wasn't, front page on the New York Times or LA Times or what have you. Andrew, did you see that report about the FBI citing Black identity extremists as the new U.S. threat?
No, I didn't see that. I'm interested in that. No, I didn't. Could you say a little bit more about that? I did not see that at all.
This was an FBI memo that came out within the last week or so, maybe 10 days, where basically they were saying that they thought this label that they're using, Black identity extremists, Black people who might target police for violence as a result of feeling upset about the protests and what have you. This came out, like I said, within the last 7 days or so. It did not get major attention, but it was in the New York Daily News. Democracy Now! Spoke about it for maybe 1 minute, a little less than a minute. Roland Martin did about a 6 minute segment on it this past week.
That's really interesting, because it shows that the FBI have got a new set of designation labels for Africans in America. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's serious. That is, that's really serious. Going back to what Mary said earlier on about the chap in America that decided to go and shoot and kill a load of people, 500 people. the same discussion happening here as I've heard happening there. Are white men, can you call white men who go around killing people, can they be called terrorists? You know, that same stupid discussion that white people are having. Just on that note, the school that I currently work in, some little white girl, they were having this discussion in class. And one little girl decided to speak quite audibly in my hearing, because I was acting as if I wasn't listening. And she was relaying this debate in class. What she basically said was, isn't it unfair that how white men, just because they're white, can't be called terrorists? Right? So they're having this discussion in class in my earshot, and she's having it because she wants me to hear, right? So that was quite funny, you know. So you got a lot of right on white people who are going around, you know, you might call them liberals, going around saying how it's unfair. So I just wanted just to put that in as well.
What a riot. What was your assessment of why they were doing this in your earshot?
Yeah, it was just probably to get me involved in their conversation, which is not going to happen. I think that was the main reason. You know, they want to see what you think as a black person about this. Do you know what I mean? But I'm never going to get involved in their nonsense. You know, because obviously then, because you don't know where these people are going to take it. Do you know what I mean? You know, but it's good to hear them talking about it and see exactly what's on their minds. Do you know what I mean? You know, but there's a lot of that going around. You know, there's this whole liberal debate backwards and forwards, you know, and then you've got a load of people coming up saying, well, that wasn't technically, you know, coming up with the Oxford Dictionary a definition of what terrorism is, that it's got to be somebody who has a political point of view, and that's what makes it a terrorist offence, as opposed to just some white man who's not happy with life. Do you know what I mean? And that's basically what, so, you know, and you see, but the problem with that in itself is that white people are allowed to tell us what terrorism is and what it means. Do you get what I mean? So it's the definition. I'm not interested in white definitions about anything, you know. So the idea, you know, is just to basically just redesignate everything according to ourselves. You know what I mean? You know, that's all I'm interested in, you know. So there you go.
Workplace racism is Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I think we have heard that before. Whites on the job saying things in earshot of a black person that they want you to hear and or respond to, almost as though they're studying or carrying out experiments to see how you respond, and sometimes just to extract more information from you. Workplace racism.
Yep.
Thursday.
They do that. I've had that experience. I'm sorry to cut you, Gus. I've had that experience at work where this guy visibly was upset with the fact that I wasn't speaking about myself. I'm very private anyway, and it's none of your business. And I understand that you're just trying to pick my brain because you want to know what I feel as a black person, because I am markedly different from you. And the way he became upset, I actually laughed in his face. It was a beautiful thing to see, you know, him become visibly disheveled and upset because I choose not to speak about myself. So he would say things like, oh, can I ask you a question? And I say, you can ask me anything you want, doesn't mean I'm going to answer it. And it burns them because they have to get into your skin. It's like wearing your skin. And the best way to diffuse it, I found in my experience, is just not to answer it. Just some, I'm not your pet Negro or your experiment so that you can try and finesse your supremacist ways. You stay there, I'm fine. I come here to work and not make friends with you. That's how I deal with it.
Workplace racism. Wow. That excellent codification in not sharing. We talk about that every Thursday in, you know, figuring out different codes, strategies. That's something that you can be planning on for the present and future, knowing that whites are going to try and be very nosy in getting in our business. And this is my plan for making sure that that does not happen. And just laughing. Great. Feel free to ask and I'll consider whether I answer or not. If folks have kind, again, this is not our normal, 3 hours. So we have 30 minutes left in the broadcast. So if you have a question that you want to get in, comment that you want to get in, the number to dial 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61. If you would like to participate, we'll see your hand. We can get you on the line. But do not straggle. Do not wait until the last moment. This is not our normal broadcast. It goes for hours. You have a very short window to get your commentary in. It's been a few months since the Grenfell Tower fire. I think that happened back earlier this summer. We had Esther Stanford Cossey on the program this past summer to talk about what happened. Lots of black people, unfortunately, lots of non-white people were victims in the tragedy. As that has continued to unfold and trying to relocate all of the victims from the fire who, lost their residence and what have you. This was something that got international attention, although certainly that's waned if we're not talking about a bombing that happened within the last few days. What are some of your observations now, a few months out from the Grenfell Tower fire that we talked about previously? I guess we'll start with Andrew. Oh, are you with us, Andrew?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, apologies for that. Yeah, it's a few things, really. Number one, well, just to let you know, I read in the newspaper that they're starting to cover it up. So they're starting to hang white sheets over the building to cover it up. And I read also that the plan is to demolish it, the building, which I thought they were going to do anyway. First of all, it's a tragic event to have happened. The repercussions of this is countrywide, because as you know, there's loads of blocks like this all over the country, and a whole heap of them have been clad in the same type of stuff, right? And there's loads of poor people. Well, it's only poor people living in blocks like this, and a lot of the people that live in blocks like this, if they're in city centres, are going to be non-white people, So that it kind of speaks for itself, it's affecting non-white poor people. And that's the thing. Now, not only, that's one scandal, the other part of it, it's more than a scandal, actually, it's criminal. Right. The other side of it is, they've used this material. It's turned up in all kinds of NHS buildings and, some schools and all over the place. There's criminality going on here, and not just at a low level either, because you're talking about people in high places giving government contracts or local authority contracts to their friends. Effectively, all kind of things have happened here, right? And to peel off one layer of skin, what this investigation is meant to do is to peel off the layers of skin, right? As to whether or not that's going to happen is the worry of the residents of Grenfell Tower, because the truth is, right, these people that are powers in high places exist on the same level as this judge. And all of them are in bed together. And that's what, that's the fear of the people in that tower or the people that managed to get out of that tower. And you're obviously talking about people that are powerless and don't necessarily understand how the systems work in this country. And so the whole idea is to keep it as much as possible in the public eye. What the government's going to want to do is make it disappear. The idea is to make this whole thing come out of the media and onto the back pages, preferably not onto any pages. And then you could just basically bury the people, bury the story, and just bury it. right? But it's such a big story. I'd be surprised if the government and their friends can do it. And you know, when I say the government, these people are all in bed together, all of them, because they're talking about, if you're talking about the people that run Kensington and Chelsea Borough, right, then those people are the, you know, these are the landowners, you know, these are the rich and powerful people in the country. That, you know, they all go horse riding together. They all go and shoot foxes together. You know, these people are, they come from old English families. And they're all crooked, all crooked people, right? So you know, so it's a big problem, you know. It'd be interesting. This investigation has got to be as long and as drawn out as possible, with the aim of burying it, and that's kind of where it is. They want to talk. And the other thing is to stigmatize all of the survivors. In other words, why haven't these survivors bothered to take a flat that's been offered? You know, why haven't they bothered to take a flat that's been offered? You know, why haven't these people, you know, why are these people signing on? Such and such a person signing on. Signing on, by the way, is when you collect government, state fund, you know, like to pay your rent and stuff like that. Yeah, that's what we call signing on. So why are these people signing on here when, you know, these are legal? You know, that one's, so basically to discredit all of the survivors in the process, right, and rubbish all of them. That's what they've done to Stephen Lawrence's family, and that's what they do, right? Rather than come out and say we were wrong, they want to they're going to try and discredit all of the survivors' families. So by the end of the process, they look like rubbish, and that you don't have to pay them anything, you don't have to give them anything. And that's, you know, that's generally where this whole thing is going to go, in my opinion.
Context of white supremacy. Before I get Mary's thoughts on this, there was a sound clip. They were doing interviews on the BBC with some of the survivors, victims of the fire. Again, I think when we've talked about this, it should be emphasized. It could have been that the majority of the victims in the Grenfell Tower were non-white people. Black people, but certainly a substantial number of non-white folks were the victims in this tragedy. And they had some of the victims call in and just talk about their situation and some of the services that have been offered. And this is just like a 60-second clip. They're talking to some of the people who are allegedly providing services for the victims who, you know, have no place to go. And a lot of them lost, you know, all or most of their possessions, just, you know, were thankful to escape with their lives. This is from the BBC, and then we'll get Mary's thoughts on the Grenfell Tower fire.
Elizabeth, I don't know if you know what goes on here in Notting Hill Methodist Church all night, every night. Do you know what happens?
Yes, I do. We have an overnight service in the Methodist Church with trained counsellors on hand in case people are feeling sort of awful in the night, so there's somewhere for them to go and people to talk to.
I mean, the vicar in charge here has said to me that this is a community in trauma, that, you know, we have people who cannot sleep, they haven't slept for 100 nights. They are absolutely ridden with tremors and trauma and grief, and when the night falls, they just find themselves unable to sleep. I mean, this is a community in real suffering, isn't it?
Yes, it is a community in real suffering. And we've put people in hotels, trained counsellors in hotels, because I get it, you know, in the middle of the night, you wake up, you remember things, you have flashbacks.
Context of white supremacy, when that stuck out, we were just talking about the importance of time and the importance of quality rest, the trauma that Black people experience worldwide, and particularly Black people being warehoused in these types of residences, shoddy housing and what have you, this sort of thing happening worldwide to Black people just really stuck out to me when I was listening to that segment. Mary, did you have any thoughts on what's transpired with the Grenfell Tower fire over the last few months?
Yes, Andrew said maximum cronyism going on there. I mean, friends of the government, or quangos as I like to think of them, getting the bids to basically kill people and walk away with the money. But going to the clip that I just heard, that was one of the most condescending things I've ever heard. It's like, oh, there, it's okay. Lots of people died, but we're here to come and see you in the hotel, even though your house is gone. And you're basically just walking around like a shell. There. Poor you. it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, what do you think you're going to tell someone in a hotel at night when they're probably waking up remembering how they escaped from flames and seeing other people dying around them? You and your Methodist church. What are you going to tell them? You're not, you're just, to me, you're just there to cause maximum disruption and maximum distress so that these people, as Andrew said, just look rubbish at the end of the process, whenever that is. It's just, it's disgraceful.
Well said, Mary. There was a caller who dialed in. I wanted to go ahead and get their I'll go ahead and get their question really quick. The caller at 5771. Did you have a question for either Andrew or Mary, or just commentary you wanted to add, sir?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
All right. Greetings to everybody on the line. This is Henry from Chicago. I was wondering if you guys were keeping up with the situation out in Spain in regards to the Catalan independence, because I was reading an article about it, and there was a commentary on it that said that this was Catalan anti-Catalan sentiments was racist. So I tried to look into it to see, you know, where does race involve in this? And I guess apparently Catalan is an ethnic group in Spain that's trying to break away from the rest of Spain. So, you know, I was wondering if you guys were following this, if you guys know anything about this, since I know you guys are in London, but, you know, since you guys are closer to it, do you guys have anything on this, and why would it be called racist?
Yeah, could I quickly go first? I just want to get this off. I've been keeping up with it. Basically, it's just white people having a fight with each other in Spain about Catalan is one of the richest regions in Spain, and it's also where the capital, Barcelona, is. So they want their independence. But what you need to understand is that white people do the same thing here, the same thing in Europe that they do in the States. They define what they believe racism is. We don't get to decide what racism is. They decide. I've heard a white person call another white person racist because, oh, we weren't German, we're from Australia, and they wouldn't let us into a club. That's just racist. They make it up as they go along. That's what they do. It's part of their deceptive, they're part of their deception and lies. So it's not racism. It's just white people having an argument between themselves about what they want to do. Not really my business, but I know about it.
Yeah, I've been looking at it. I found it interesting. I don't really understand why they're fighting. I don't know the history of the of Catalonia. I'd like to. I'm going to learn more about that history. So yeah, no, I know. I think it's as Mary said, it's just white people just having an argument. You know, possibly similar to Northern Ireland and England. You know that kind of thing, or Northern Ireland and Scotland. You know, something like that. There may be more to it underneath the surface, but I'm not sure what that is.
Do you have another question, sir? Or...
Oh no, that was it. I just wanted to get their opinion on it, because it did seem like it was white people fighting white people, but the racial classification is, like, you know, I was kind of confused on that because I don't know the history between the Catalans and the regular Spanish. So yeah, it that's sufficient enough.
Maybe the Catalan. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, you know, Spain, as you probably know, has got an interesting history in itself. And you see, I kind of suspect anyway that it's got something to do with the fact that you had Moorish Africa, North Africa, invade Spain. You know, they were there for how many years? 700 years or something like that. And which, you know, which is why, you know, You have the Black Madonna, which is why you have a whole load of Islamic, Moorish Islamic temples in southern Spain. And I've got a feeling that it's got something to do with that history, but I personally need to do a bit more research to connect the two, because as you probably know, Spanish people do not like to acknowledge their African history. They don't like to acknowledge that. They don't like to acknowledge that up until the Moors came to Spain, they were pretty much in what Europeans call the Dark Ages, you know, and there's no coincidence that, you know, that Christopher Columbus sailed in 1492, all of these things fit together. So, you know, all of that learning came up through North Africa into Spain, which enabled Spain to be the first ones to basically run things in the Caribbean. So, so these things are connected. So I'd like to know to what degree this current issue is related to that past, you know, or if it is at all. It might not be, but I'm guessing it. I have a sneaking suspicion that it is.
Well, I don't want to bring this up because I'm not too familiar with it, but the little reading that I did do, and you just touched on the Moorish heritage that some of the Spaniards have, and I believe it has something to do with, you know, being pure-blooded white, because I know we studied Lopestada's book, The Rise and Tide of Color, and he talks about that as well, when white people are fighting white people, who's pure-blooded and who's not. You know, as far as, he doesn't consider like the Mediterranean people, pure-blooded white people, even though they are classified.
Okay.
Right.
So. I understand.
I haven't seen any pictures of what the Catalan people look like to see, you know, how much melanin they have or just phenotypically what they look like. I've seen, you know, a lot of different reports on this, but I haven't really seen images to get a good look at these.
Thanks.
Mary?
They look like regular Spaniards. Some of them are darker. Some of them look like Romanian type dark. But it's just, they look like pretty much the rustic Spaniards. They just, you can't tell them apart. You just can't. They'd have to tell you which region they come from. I mean, I know that Catalans have certain subtle differences in their language. But they all just look like Spaniards, you know, like white people or white people with a slight tan. That's it.
Okay. Maybe they're the Hispanics of that region, quote unquote Hispanics. We have about 10 minutes approximately in the broadcast. So if folks have a question, comment they want to make sure they get in, take advantage of our international participants. The number to dial 641-715-3640, the code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you have a question, if you want to participate. I did want to say on the Grenfell Tower fire, some of the victims, former residents, they had said to the point Andrew made about them being criticized, admonished because they've not signed to get new housing someplace else. Some of them said publicly that the residence that they were offered did not feel welcoming. It felt as though the people in the new location didn't want them to be there. You could add that to the audit, in my opinion. Those might be new acts of racism, white supremacy. Let me double check, see if we make sure we didn't miss callers. I don't think you two were with us, Mary and Andrew, when we talked about some of the many hurricanes that Thomas talked about. I have heard some people, I think what he was saying, I have heard some folks, even in mainstream outlets, saying that this has been historic with the hurricanes and the weather and offering speculation. I have heard some people say that, but you two were not with us last month. And I did want to get your thoughts on what the coverage has been of the hurricanes in the islands. I think I said last month that so many of the black people that are in Europe and England specifically, they have very recent and intimate connections to the islands in the Caribbean. So I was curious, just with that population, what's been the coverage of the devastation that's been going on and over the past month or so in the Caribbean islands? I guess we can start, Mary.
There has been coverage, and there's been a few news dockets that I've seen where people are rallying together here to send things to islands like Dominica where people have nothing. But most interestingly, at the end of these news articles, there are no details provided for these organisations in which you can send help or assistance, which is usually done when the charity is run by white people. So I found that very, very interesting. And also to the point that was made about it being historic weather, I would go so far as to speculate as to whether or not these are naturally occurring events and not something else.
I know Thomas in New York raised that point before, as did Dr. Niana Rasayan. He should be with us in a few days later this month. Andrew, the coverage of the hurricanes in the Caribbean the past month or so?
As Mary said, there's been some coverage. And maybe I'm just being biased, as you know, some people may say I'm being biased. What stuck out for me anyway, the bit that stuck out for me, is the amount of money and aid certain British territories are not going to receive. You know, because some of those islands, I can't remember which ones, are still British territories, right? So you had Boris Johnson go over there and, from what I could see, not do a lot and not offer a lot to these British territories. Now, if that were the Falklands, you know, because the Falklands is still under British control, I wonder what would be the, well, we all know really, don't we? We know exactly what the response would be. It'd be a better response, right? So that's, you know, that's really what the issue really is. I've not seen anything about those islands now, and the island is still flattened. Do you get what I mean? Or those islands. The pictures I've seen are of tiny flattened islands with Boris Johnson there not saying a hell of a lot. So that's that one. But then what else would we expect? We wouldn't expect anything more than that, really, would we? Personally, what stands out for me, sorry, is how Caribbean people still see this country as being the motherland. And for me, that's the biggest problem. Do you know what I mean? You know, that is ultimately for me the biggest issue. You know, that there's still Africans in the Caribbean that see England as being the motherland and expecting this country to care. You know, for me, that's the biggest problem.
Context of white supremacy. In the last few minutes that we have, I know Thomas in New York had asked this question before, and I wanted to ask it again since things, or I guess we'll see, have things changed with the conflict that they have been talking about with North Korea and missile launches and what have you, and Trump's commentary, President Trump's commentary over the past few days. Has the language changed? I think when Thomas in New York asked the question previously, some of our callers, international participants, they said that North Korea and Kim Jong-un, that they're just kind of talked about as a joke, not as a serious threat. And, you know, we don't need to worry about them or take any action. They're more of an amusement, an entertainment. Has that changed over the past few weeks or so, or is it the same? I guess we'll start with Andrew.
I can't see that much has changed, but there's been one or two. It seems that the news, from what I could see anyway, was taken up for a time, quite a long time actually, with the shooting, that crazy white man that shot 500 people, killed 50 odd people. The news was taken up a little bit with that. Kim Jong-un and Mr. Donald Trump, that sort of took a little bit of a backseat to that story. I don't quite know where all of that is now. Mary might have more on that one. I don't quite know where all of that one is now. So, I mean, personally, I'd like to know where is that one? You know, where is that one now?
Mary, have you heard anything on the what's going with Korea in terms of how that's being talked about in England specifically?
It's died down. It has died down. I've not really heard much. There was about within a week, there was a lot of coverage about that. And it's true. He Kim, is it we or it on Kim Jong Un? He's seen as a bit of a joke, but I think that's mainly to stop people from thinking about the fact that he is a danger. I mean, you're talking about, and when I say danger, I don't mean like he will necessarily interfere with anybody like white people do, as in he will not take being disrespected, or he will not take threats lightly, and he'll probably act on it. I think that they're trying to downplay the fact that he could possibly do that.
Someone is flipping pages. If we could maybe use the mute button or do our library searching later. Sorry about that, Mary.
That's okay. I think that he is being downplayed, and Donald Trump is just not being seen as the dangerous person that he is. That this is, you know, probably something that is going to be water under the bridge, but no, I honestly don't think so. But it has kind of died down over the past few days because of the shooting, and then now that's been eclipsed by Harvey Weinstein.
Wow, that's big news across the pond. Amazing. Hollywood's global influence. Wow.
Can I add some?
It's been nonstop. Sorry, Andrew. No, Harvey Weinstein has been nonstop.
Wow.
And I'm just waiting to see whether or not he's going to get the Bill Cosby treatment, because Roman Polanski sure didn't. What? And neither did Hugh Hefner. So it's going to be interesting.
What would be the Bill Cosby treatment, in your opinion?
Oh, just dragged without any evidence. Dragged through the mud, trying to take your wealth because you're a black guy. You know, saying that you drug these women, you know, you're the purple gum black predator. Whereas Harvey Weinstein, there's actual audio evidence, and I'm not surprised if there's even more. Roman Polanski is a convicted rapist, and Hugh Hefner had Brooke Shields, his 10-year-old, taking pornographic snaps of her. So we'll see if he gets the Bill Cosby treatment. I don't think he will. And he's on audio saying, oh, well, people make mistakes. He's admitting that he's done something. Like, come on. Then they're probably not going to do anything to this guy.
I think even I saw an article in the BBC that they were UK authorities were looking to see if he committed any violations on that side of the pond as well, criminal violations on that side of the pond. Andrew, you were going to comment, sir?
Yeah, I was going to make a comment. Not about Mr. Harvey Weinstein, though. It's more going to be about King Jong-un. It's more going to be about him. And I just want him just to carry on doing what he's doing, really. That's all I want to say. I like the fact that he's got nuclear weapons. I like the fact that, you know, it seems as if China's backing him up. I like the fact, you see, because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I think it's important that as many different people as possible challenge white supremacy in any and every area. And the idea of white people through Donald Trump is to threaten non-white people into not having nuclear weapons, not having any kind of power, nuclear power, whatever power it might be. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of, how can I say, there's going to be a lot of war, right, before white supremacy is brought to an end, because that's where it has to go. Effectively, it's not going to go anywhere else. That's you know, empires do collapse from within. I do understand that, but not without a lot of battles and struggles and all the rest of that. And that's going to be one of them. That's going to be one of the areas where that's going to happen. The more people, countries that stand up with their nuclear weapons and are not prepared to give in or be threatened by America and white power worldwide, right, then that's what it's going to take. You know, that's exactly what it's going to take. So, you know, good. I'm not saying I like the guy, but, you know, I think anyone who's prepared to say, you know what, we're going to do this, we're going to go for it, we're going to have our nuclear weapons, and if you touch us, we're going to let you have it. We're going to slam our weapons into you. If you do it to us, we're going to do it to you. Right? That's where it has to go. That's my comment.
United independent. That's what it sounds like to me. We are pretty much at the end. Thomas in New York, did you have any final question you wanted to get in or comment before we wrap things up?
Yeah, I did. One is I was just looking at the website Ventusky, and the diagram is showing that there's two weather anomalies that's going your way in the UK. So I would ask the family there, please don't take these hurricanes lightly. These are serious. Even if they're tropical storms, they're something that you guys aren't used to. And that the water that will be coming in will be a lot colder than the water. It's usually tropical water that comes in here. I mean, that'll be freezing, frigid water. I mean, you don't want to be under that or in a situation with that. So get water and food. And the last thing I wanted to say about the BIE report, I think that over the last couple of years, white supremacists have done a great job. It seemed like every black person that they've, every report, inside the report, every black person that they have shooting these cops, they've been able to tie him into one of the groups, be it Micah Johnson. They were able to tie him in somehow with the RBG groups, the New Black Panther. They had a picture with him and Professor Griff. And then with the other guy in Baton Rouge, they tied him into black sovereign movements, Moorish movements. Same thing with the guy who went up in New York and shot the two cops and then ran and was shot in the subway station. And it just seemed very suspicious because he left Baltimore to do it. Also tied him into different black authors and things of that nature. So when I'm looking at this report, it looks very deliberate, like an attack on the so-called conscious community or the black people here who kind of woken up over the last few years and are identifying the problem as white supremacy. It seems like that's the people that they're focused on. And I think that should stand out. And I'll mute my line. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate that, Thomas in New York. And with that, we will wrap. We will be here Wednesday. Pam will be back. We'll certainly get her thoughts on the black identity extremists. She might be one, but that'll be Wednesday, normal time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Always love having Pam on the cows. Always grand to have Mary, Andrew. Hopefully we'll have even more of our international participants with us next time around. We'll be here. This broadcast is the third Sunday of every month. It's always 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 12 p.m. Pacific, and for folks that are over in the UK, 8 p.m. Eastern, or excuse me, 8 p.m. London time, third Sunday of every month for the Global Sunday Talk on Racism. Thanks, everyone, for hanging out with us, sharing a bit of your Sunday, I guess, evening, afternoon, depending on where you happen to be at. Hope it was constructive investment of your time and energy. If you have questions, guest suggestions, if you have problems finding a broadcast in the archives, drop me an email, untiljustice@gmail.com, untiljustice@gmail.com, and I will try to help out as quickly as possible. With that, I will again encourage sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy that is worldwide. Racists, they have taken advantage and exploited non-white people who are not making the best decisions because we are intoxicated. They have a long track record of doing that. We are already being attacked and terrorized. We should do everything that we can to stay healthy and keep our brain computer operating at maximum efficiency so that we can, as Andrew said, adequately prepare for our present and future. Doing that sober, I think, would be best. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people victims of white supremacy, we ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Remind us to plan for African present and future. Context of White Supremacy signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Shut I'm up. A victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.